You know, we are getting closer and closer to holiday season. It will be here before we know it. So I wanted to share some information that I hope will prepare everyone who may find this to be a difficult time of year. I'm going to bring back a conversation that I had with Melrose York and Reverend Hatfield. Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. As always, it is good to have you all with us, and I really appreciate you speaking with community, and I really mean this when I say I appreciate you for being people who are really, really catching hold of what we're working to accomplish as we really do work to build the individual, the family, and the community. That is something that really I count a joy, I count it an honor, because it really is a mission. And it is so great when we have people who can join us and help with that, because they bring an expertise, they bring a passion, they bring knowledge, they bring insights that one person just cannot bring all of it to the table. And so I really want to welcome back our guests from just over a week ago, Ms. Melrose York and Reverend Gregory Hatfield.
An honor to be back with you. Thanks.
Thank you all so much. My pleasure. You know, I wanted to let everyone know again, too, because I know that we definitely touched on this, but we certainly didn't clearly delineate this. I mean, really spell it out at the top of the conversation last time we were together, the fact that Melrose York is the mother of a very, very beautiful young lady whom some people got a chance to meet. And I say some, I'm looking at the size of this state. I'm looking at the size of this nation. And when you look at the whole population, it was just a handful of people who really got a chance to know Katie York, who was your daughter. And as I mentioned, she really, and I meant it when I said, when I saw this young lady's picture, I was captivated. Mm-hmm. I began to read the article, and I stopped reading the article to look at the picture again. And I went back to the article, and I went back to that picture, and I just stared at that picture. And I knew it wasn't just because of what was written about her. That young lady really was special. And I appreciate you and Ron York, your husband, for having given this world someone so beautiful as Katie York.
That was God. God did it.
He did that. He did that through the two of you. And, of course, her memory lives on because of the impact that she had. And, of course, as you were sharing with us when you were here before, that monument that has been constructed in her name.
That's right. It is the Catherine M. York Adapted Aquatic Center, and in memory of Katie. And there's some good work going on there. Every day, every week, people are being helped. And that was the point. That was the point.
All right. Share that with us again, the fact that it was the aquatic center?
Yes, yes. Katie had viral encephalitis in 2005, and as her recovery was 2.5 years, during that time she decided that she wanted to help out, and Claudia Collins at the Adapted Aquatic Center, or the the Family Y in Augusta, was able to give her a volunteer opportunity. Basically, she worked with kids with disabilities. And Claudia's dream was to one day get a pool or have a pool dedicated specifically to children and adults with special needs. And Katie knew that. And she had a real gift. Katie had a real gift for working with the children and adults with disabilities. And so she'd pray about it every night. She'd say, "And Lord, please give Claudia her pool." So when Katie passed, the community knew that that was something that we wanted. And we put it in the newspaper, you know, instead of flowers, please donate to an adapted aquatic center. And within 3 weeks, we had some amazing, really miracles happen. And that facility opened 2 years to the, her birthday was June 2nd. And 2 years later, the facility opened.
Mm.
So that's a blessing for us every day, every time we see it, every time we go by it and hear about the healing that's going on there. So.
And, you know, they've heard me address her as the beautiful young lady. How old was
she? Was Katie? She was 20. She would have been 21 in 13 days. The day she died, she would have been 13 days from her 21st birthday.
So she really was a young lady.
Yes.
Who had truly accomplished a lot when you think about the impact that she had in that short period of time.
Yeah.
So beautiful.
And that impact is going on. You know, we still feel connected. And a really nice continuation of this is I have a Bible study men's small fellowship group with a person who's wheelchair bound with multiple sclerosis, MS, and cannot, you know, I've watched him get to this particular point. His two highlights of the week are being able to go to Katie's pool and swim.
How about that?
You know, being able to get there, he talks about it. He's excited about it, and the connection continues. I'll detour in some of my driving just to drive by the mosaic of Katie. It's feel quite connected.
Yeah. And Reverend Hatfield, you know what it is to experience grief firsthand.
Sure.
And you have the responsibility, the task, the privilege of helping others who are coping with grief work through it. What is the key to being a person who knows grief your own and still being able to help others work through it?
You know, that's a great question. And what you're really asking is, what's the difference between grief and mourning? Now, a lot of folks probably don't look at this, but there is a very, very much of a difference. Grief is what we feel inside. It has physical complications. It has mental. It just does a number on ourself. It's kind of personal. It's kind of what we do. But mourning is the expression, the outward expression of that grief. And a person in grief has to find that right audience, if I can put it that way, or that right person to express. Because not all understand, and I don't totally understand, but I do understand enough that, what's the right thing to say, how much to listen, how much to speak. So the key is, Carl, is helping that person with the mourning side of grief, having a place to express it. Because if it's not cleansed, or if it's not, you know, some ability to remove what's going on, it still will wreak havoc on us physically, mentally, spiritually, socially, economically. I mean, you name it. But once the person starts to be able to express that grief, and that's why I love Grief Share so much that Melrose has brought to the church. It's a great program. But that's where mourning takes place. People have a safe place, a healthy place to be able to express what's going on deep inside, and some of the stuff they don't even know what's going on deep inside until they hear it coming from their own lips.
Mm-hmm. Reverend Hatfield, I attended a funeral once, and a father had died. And I watched as one of his older sons, I say older sons, grown man, I really don't know what his age is, but I would guess somewhere maybe late 30s to maybe mid late 40s. And I watched as he approached the coffin. I don't remember if it was open or not, to be honest, but he approached the coffin. We were still in the church. And I watched as he stopped. He stood stiffly upright, And he turned from the coffin and began to walk back to his seat. And I saw him stop again, and I watched as he literally, visibly swallowed hard. And I saw him stick his chest out, and he started smiling as he proceeded to his. It was almost as though he was proud that he had prevented, suppressed something from taking place that he didn't want to take place. And I began to get so worried. You talk about finding that right audience so that we can get it out, so we can express what it is that we're experiencing inside.
And tears make us feel uncomfortable. We're not comfortable with other people's tears, but what we say with Grief Share is tears are healing. And what an honor for me when somebody tears up talking about my daughter. It's an honor for me. And we share that sadness and we share those tears, but tears are frightening to people for some reason in our society. The Jews used to grieve 30 days.
Yeah.
And we don't give ourselves enough time to grieve.
That's true.
It takes 2 years sometimes, or three, depending on the what your loss is. Sometimes if you are grieving someone ahead of time, you know, you're grieving somebody who's ill and is going to die, that grief starts earlier. But everybody grieves differently, and the time frame is different.
Does it seem like, you mentioned those tears, in our fear of the tears, does it seem like sometimes those tears are even more threatening if they're associated with death?
I think so.
Absolutely. Sure. I mean, it's at that moment, whoever comes alongside that person with the right words to say. I mean, sometimes just a hug around the neck, but saying something like, oh, don't cry, that's that's not helpful. It's just a matter of presence and being there and letting the person express that grief in a way that needs to be expressed.
Yeah. Yeah. So really and truly, as you said, healing is involved in the expression of that grief.
Absolutely.
And I guess it's probably safe to assume that the opposite is true too. We're doing damage to ourselves. We're causing harm, injury to ourselves if we don't express it.
It will come out in some way, physically, generally. It will come out in stress-related kinds of illnesses. Your immune system will be suppressed, and you will get sick. That's just minor. There's a lot of other things. And even if you absolutely have to write it down, finding a way to get those emotions on paper, if you can't do it person to person, it's critical to get the grief feelings that you have out. And, of course, a great way would be to find a grief group like Grief Share.
Absolutely.
Like Grief Share.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the Grief Share again when we come back. I know you all heard us, those of you who were with us when we spoke first heard about it. We want to remind you, and those who weren't able to be with us, we really want you to find out about Grief Share. So stay with us. We'll be right back.